All right, hey, good morning, everybody. You guys ready to have a good time in the Word today? Come on, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor. If you are here for the first time or the first time back in a while, we say a big welcome to you and thank you so much for joining us today. Also, everyone joining us on our live stream through our app, our podcast, if you're on Facebook Live. In fact, if you guys want to right now, you can jump on your Facebook on your smartphone and share our live stream and invite others to join you in church. But we say welcome to you guys and make sure to connect to our online host and get prayer. You can give online. You can fill out our Easter RSVP. By the way, we are going to 4 services regularly after Easter Sunday, but Easter weekend, we're planning for 5 services, possibly 6, depending on the RSVP process. And here's what that looks like. People ask me, they go, do I really have to get a ticket to come to church? And the answer is, of course not. But we just have a limited space at this location and at North Clarksville. And so we want everybody to just, if you would, go on our website, lifepointchurch.tv/Easter, and just let us know what service you plan to attend. That way, we can make sure that we're filling all the services equally. And let me ask you this too. If you're a part of our dream team, where you at? All right, if you're part of our dream team especially, or maybe you're a retiree from the dream team, quitter, we want to ask you to come on Saturday night, to come to our Easter service Saturday night. We're going to have a full service. I'm preaching the same message. And then come and serve all day on Sunday. And come and serve all 4 or 5 services on Easter Sunday. But go on our website, sign up and RSVP for you and your whole family. And it's general seating. You can sit wherever you want. There's no tickets. But we just need to know as we're filling the room how to fill it for every service. Also at West Creek, they're going to 2 services on Easter Sunday. Isn't that great news, everybody? Come on. Amazing, amazing job. So sign up, lifepointchurch.tv/Easter. Today we're wrapping up Romans chapter 4, and if you're new to this series, let me encourage you to go back and listen to this message series on our podcast or on our website. I'm telling you, these sermons have really blessed us and set a lot of people free. In fact, I've heard that numerous times. They've said, I'm hearing things from the Word that I've never heard before, I've never known before. I feel like God's setting me free from religion. How many of you say amen to that, right, everybody? I've said it for the last few weeks. Religion is a dead experience. Like, it's not what God expects of us. He's not impressed by your obedience. But God is calling us into intimate fellowship and relationship with Him. And the book of Romans is telling us this. So powerfully appropriate for us, I think, today as Americans especially. We have a culture that's following all sorts of patterns of the Greco-Roman culture. And we need the grace of God poured out on us so that we can live for Him. Last Sunday, we went through the first half of Romans 4, and we saw that Abraham, God called Abraham what? Righteous because he believed. God didn't call Abraham righteous because he obeyed, but how many of us religious people know that we feel like our righteousness is wrapped up in our obedience? We feel like our righteousness is wrapped up in our obedience and our ability to cross every T and dot every I and get everything right. We obeyed by not saying the cuss word. We didn't have that drink. We didn't say this thing or look at that person or we didn't do the bad or we did enough of the good. But the Bible says in Romans 4 at the beginning half that Abraham was considered righteous because he believed God before he even obeyed. And the stuff that God called Abraham to do was a little weird. Circumcision. For the first time. He called him to leave his land that he'd known forever, that his father raised him in, and go to a place that he'd never been before. He said, you're going to have a kid with your wife who's not able to be pregnant. But the scripture showed us in chapter 4 that Abraham believed God, and his belief is why God considered him righteous. And then we saw that his belief transferred him into behavior. So we want to put believing in God before behaving for God. And that was last week's message, so make sure to go get it. Now, today, I want to finish Romans 4, and we're going to take a higher view. We're going to go about 30,000 feet in the air and look over the text. And rather than staying again in the weeds of Abraham's story, we're going to see through Paul's descriptions of Abraham. But today, I want us to jump straight to the real-life application of this text and Abraham's story for our life today. Sometimes we read stories of the Bible and we think, well, that's really great for them, but what does that have to do with me? Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever read your Bible? Sometimes we read these stories and we go, well, that was great for Elijah, that was great for Enoch, that was great for Jesus, you know, but what about me? Well, today, I want this text to be your text. In fact, you're written in the text today. We're going to see in just a moment. So here we go. Let's read together Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring, You should underline "and his offspring," by the way, because that's us. "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law." It didn't come through his obedience, his willingness to obey and be perfect, right? It came through the righteousness of faith. "For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs of God, then faith is null and promise is void." In other words, listen, if you think you can earn your way to God by the rules, by keeping obedient, keeping the religious rules and the religious game going, then having faith is nullified. It's worthless. It's null and void, he says. "For the law brings wrath," verse 15, "but where there's no law, there's no transgression." In other words, if we're not living by the law, we have nothing to break. But now we're living by grace. We're living by faith. Now watch this, verse 16. "That's why it depends on," underline this, "it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace." Now we've got these incredible words from the scripture. It depends on faith and it rests on grace. And then look at this, "and be guaranteed to all of his offspring." So now you and I are included in this text. Look at it again, verse 16. It depends on righteousness, depends on faith. It rests on grace. Now listen, this is not an excuse to sin. This is not go live how you want and God will wink at you. That's not what grace is. Grace is God's empowering you to live for him. Okay? Grace is never an excuse to sin. Grace is never a reason for you to go live how you want and blame God when your life falls apart. It depends on faith. It rests on God's power to live for him, grace. And look, though, it's guaranteed to all of us, his offspring. Raise your hand, children of Abraham. Y'all remember the song? Father Abraham had many sons. And many sons had Father Abraham. What? "And I am one of them." Let's just praise the Lord. Right arm. I don't understand the right arm, left arm part. Right foot, left foot. Nod your head. Turn around. Oh, yeah, sit down. I don't understand this part. That was just a guy who wrote a song and was like, "Dang, that song's short." But hey, children of Abraham, you're right here in this text. This is your verse. You're named in this text. You're also, by the way, named in John 17 when Jesus prays for you. You're named in Acts chapter 2 when Peter said, "Anyone who believes can be filled with the Holy Spirit." That's you. I mean, you're in the Bible. You ever read the scripture and go, "That's me"? You don't do that? Okay. I don't either. It depends on faith. It rests on grace and is guaranteed to us. Look at this. Not only the adherent of the law, but the person who shares the faith of Abraham. What's the faith of Abraham? Why did God call Abraham righteous? Because he believed. Was it because he behaved? He called him righteous because he believed. Hey, believer, you're righteous. You're an offspring of Abraham because you believe. You are righteous. And God's promises are for you too. Who's the father of us all? "As it is written, I have made you," God says to Abraham, "I've made you the father of many nations," close quote. And look at this, "in the presence of God, in whom he," Abraham, "believed." Here's the verse, watch this. "Who gives life to the dead, and God who calls into existence the things that don't exist." Some of us have heard that misquoted our whole little charismatic life, that we can call those things that are not as though they were. No. God clearly is the one who brings dead things to life and calls things into existence that don't exist. Can I just start? I've got this message for you today called "Believe God for Big Things." Let me just ask you, what are you believing God for? What has God said that you can believe in it for? Because Abraham had this crazy thing, and as soon as God said it, Abraham what? Believed. So I think God is calling us as a church, as we look back at the story of Abraham, as we look through Romans 4, to start believing God for some big things. And here's where it starts. Look, God is bigger than whatever you're watching, whatever you're seeing, whatever you're living in, whatever your current station is. God's bigger than that. And I think God has a plan and a purpose and a design, and he's got a will about that. But will you listen when he speaks? Watch this. You got to remember what was happening with Abraham. He was a childless man with a wife who couldn't have kids. In an age when status and legacy and inheritance and namesakes all were tied to the ability to leave a heritage to your sons. Man, I've got four daughters. And there are people that ask me, like, "Are you going to have a boy? Are you going to try for a boy?" And I go, "I've been trying for a boy the whole time. What are you talking about?" By the way, I love having girls. I took all four of my girls yesterday to get their nails done. I know, it was great. And then they're like, Dad, your turn. Okay, you know, like, okay. I took all four of my girls to get their nails done. You know what happened? I walked out of that place like I was a hero. I love having girls. I don't need any knucklehead, dirty-faced, little fart knocker boy running around my house right now. I'm the boy in my house. You know what I'm saying? But I've had people ask me, like, you gonna try again for a son? And then they'll say, well, who are you gonna give your name to? I go, well, my brothers have boys. I ain't worried about that. They can have my last name. Call them little nephew. But one day I'm gonna have sons-in-law. And I'm not gonna give them their my name. I'm gonna give them daughters. I'm gonna get my wife back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't even wait. But he was a childless man with a wife who was unable to have children in an age when status and legacy were tied to your ability to leave a heritage. That's not our status and legacy anymore. But he was hopeless. Listen, he had no hope. His name and legacy would die with him. In fact, before he was Abraham, the father of many nations, he was Abram. God literally not only gave him a promise, he gave him a new name that was tied to his promise. He said, I'm going to call you something. I'm going to call you father of many. And then God spoke to Abraham, right as God was getting a hold of his whole heart. In fact, go back in your Bibles and read it. Genesis chapters 12, 13, 14, 15. We see God calling Abraham's father, in fact, to go to this new land. And Abraham's father got stuck in a place where his son died. And he lived there for the rest of his life. Abraham ends up growing up in Terah, where the son, the brother died. And God ends up replacing the call that was on his father to go to the new land, puts it on Abraham. And then in the course of that, we have the story of Abraham and Lot separating, and Lot and his wife with Sodom and Gomorrah. This is all that's happening right in the same area, Genesis chapters 12 through 15. And then at the end of chapter 14, we have Abraham giving a tithe of his income to the Lord. In fact, this is before the law. This is the first time it ever happened in the Bible. Abraham gave 10% of his income to God through the priest Melchizedek. And then the very next chapter, after God has got a hold of Abraham's heart and got a hold of Abraham's giving, God gets a hold of Abraham's story. And Genesis chapter 15 goes like this. After these things, he's on the move. Lot, Sodom, Gomorrah, his giving of his tithe. God gets a hold of his heart. Now he gets a hold of a story. After these things, the word of the Lord came. Can you just underline that in Genesis 15? The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Notice his name, Abram. And God said this, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I am your reward. I am your shield and your reward shall be very great. Now here's Abram going, I just gave away a tenth portion of my money. I've left the land that I was supposed to inherit from my father. I'm now separated from my boy Lot. God says, fear not, because I'm your shield. Your reward shall be great. Now watch this. But Abram said, oh, Lord God, what will you give me? Look at what he said. For I continue childless. Isn't it interesting when God's trying to speak to us, we kind of throw up our issues to him. We kind of make excuses of why his voice doesn't make any sense to us. God said, I'm going to make you great. And Abraham said, how will I be great? I continue childless. And he said, the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. In other words, the guy who's going to get everything I have is a servant, a guy on my team, a staff member. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring. And a member of my household is going to be my heir. Then, behold, the word of the Lord came. Did you notice that's twice in this passage? Go back. God said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Here's God's word. I'm your shield. Your reward will be great. Abraham argues with God. He said, I don't even have any kids. How am I going to be great? I got nobody to give it to. Now watch this. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Now watch this, what God says. This man, Eliezer of Damascus, will not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Now, to a man who, in an era when legacy and inheritance is all tied to your son, God speaks to him and says, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and says to Abram, look toward heaven, number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to Abraham, so shall your offspring be. How do you get your head around the fact that God is telling a dude, he's 100 years old, by the way. Any 100-year-olds in the room? Just curious. Anybody ever met a 100-year-old? Were any of them on the verge of popping out babies? Like anybody? 100 years old. We got a guy on our team. He's 84. He comes and volunteers every week, 2 days a week in our office. His name's Jim. And Jim's 84 years old. And I saw him in the hallway this week. I was like, Jim, I'm so thankful for you, man. Thanks for serving. He's like, I love it, Pastor. It's great. I go, Jim, I'm talking about Abraham Sunday. And he starts grinning. I go, how old are you? He goes, I'm 84, man. And I go, could you imagine in 15 years, God saying, you're about to have a baby? He's like, starts chuckling like, oh, never. You know, like there's no way. Abraham's 100 years old. Watch this. God said, so shall your offspring be. Number the stars, if you can even count that high. So shall your offspring be. And look at this. Abraham believed the Lord. And God counted to him, Abraham, as righteousness. So let me just say, God's bigger than your situation, Abraham. You go, I'm 100 years old with a wife who can't get pregnant. God says, yeah, but you're going to have kids. Abraham begins to argue with God. He begins to push his problem out to God, and then God just gives him a word. Notice how it says again. Go back to verse 6, I think it is. The word of the Lord came to him. Can I just ask you, is God speaking to you at all? Is God speaking to the situations that you're living through right now? Is God speaking through the peril of your family situation? Your marriage is falling apart. Your finances are broke. Your kids aren't serving God. Are you giving the Lord any room to show up and speak into what you're dealing with? Or are you so busy casting it back to God? God, I'm 100. My wife can't have kids. What's the deal? I don't have any heir. We get so busy in praying to God that we don't ever let God speak the word to us. And maybe God will have a promise for you if you'd shut up long enough to let him talk to you. Whew, was that too hard? That was too hard. I'm so sorry. But sometimes our relationship with God is so one-directional. All we do is bring him our problems, and God goes, I have a word for that if you'll listen. I have a word for that if you'll read about it. I have a word for that if you just hush. And Abraham had to be shut down and let the word come to him. And then God said, I'm going to give you a son. Don't worry about that problem. You think you're going to have to hand it off to a servant. No. Not that problem. My solution, you're going to have a son. Now listen, I don't know what you're going through, but I know God knows your situation, and God knows something bigger and better than you do. It may take a decade or so to get it to come to pass, but God is looking to speak into us and give us a word of some promise. My first pastor used to say, boy, you need to pray and don't move until you hear from God. Pray and don't move until you hear from God. He would also say, you like to shoot from the hip and clean up later. He goes, boy, you need to learn to pray and hear from God. And don't move until you hear from God. So this backstory of God calling Abraham righteous because he believed. Like, can you imagine being 100 years old with a barren wife and going, yep, that's going to happen. He looked beyond his problem. He looked beyond his situation. And he looked directly to the God of provision. He looked to the God of promise. And he let God have room to speak into his life. Listen, he believed God. He believed in God. He didn't see the fruit of that for 25 years. Did you know that part of the story? Abraham was 100 when God made the promise. It was 25 years later that Isaac comes along. Can you imagine hanging on to a promise like that for longer than a week? Some of y'all would go home and be like, honey, God said we're going to get pregnant. What you got going on right now? And then in a week, you'd be like, how you feeling? You know, like 25 years he waited on that promise. And you know what? We're going to see in Romans in a second, he never wavered on that. Why? Because his faith was activated. Watch this back in verse 16 of Romans chapter 4. It says, this is why it depends on faith. There's something about a no-so assurance. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the confidence of stuff we can't even see. Like, I just know that God's going to come through. I know God has a call. I know God has a plan. I know God has a promise. He has provision. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. My wife may not understand it. My church may not. My pastor may not even believe it. But I have a word from God. And it stands by faith. That's why it depends on faith. I tell people a lot of times when they're dealing with, like, do I move? Do I take this job? I said, do you have peace from God yet? They go, no. I go, don't move till you get a peace from God. Because in the day when storms come, you need to fall back on that peace. You need to come back to that place of faith when you know God called you and you know God directed you. Listen, it depends on faith. It rests on grace, God's empowerment for us. And will be guaranteed to all of us, not only to the adherents of law, but to the one who shares the faith of Abraham. How many of you believe in God? You share the faith of Abraham, righteous people, who's the father of us all. As it's written, He said, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed. And here it is, God who gives life to the dead. What is dead around you that you've given up on? Do you know how many times I meet with couples and they say, our marriage is falling apart, we're on the way to divorce court? I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and I always say the same thing. We believe God can repair that. But I've had couples who don't believe it. I feel like somebody's got to believe it for them and just speak it and say it, because God can call your dead marriage back to life. If God can bring a 125-year-old man to life enough to have a baby with a woman who's with a wife whose womb is barren, God can bring your marriage to life. God can turn your situation around with your kids. You got kids that are far from God. You got grown children. You go, I raised my kids in church, and they're so far from God, they won't darken the door of a church. The Bible says that he who began a good work will see it through to completion. Will you stand in faith and stand on the word of God for that? It depends on faith. It's grace. And look, it's God who gives life to the dead, and it's God who calls into the existence the things that don't exist. Some of you are so lonely in your singlehood, and you're begging God. You go, Lord, I'm real complete in you. I get it. I'm complete in you. And by the way, single or married, you need to find your completion in Jesus. But some of you go, I feel called to be married, and you're believing God to call those things into existence. Chill long enough to let God give you a promise. My wife started praying for her husband when she was 14 years old, and the fulfillment of that promise showed up when she was 20. And I'm still here. Like, she has stuck with me. I told her yesterday, girl, if you leave me, I'm going with you. Better stick around, girl. True story. We just got through marriage conference last week, and so we're doing some homework, and we're talking about stuff. And I was like, girl, I grabbed her by the face two nights ago. I just said, I love you, and I will never bail on you or cheat on you. I am yours forever. And she goes, well, you told me if I left, you're coming with me. I was like, that's right. She's listening. So can I just say that Abraham took a moment to talk about his situation. I don't have a child. I don't have a son to give it to. And then that's the last time you heard Abraham complain about it. Because when the word of the Lord showed up, Abraham listened and believed God. Quit arguing with God about your situation. Quit arguing with God about your station. Listen, what's become dead in your life that God needs to breathe back into? What is not there right now that doesn't exist that you need God to bring forth? God's bigger than your situation. He's more powerful than the power of death that you think lingers over you. You may be fully convinced that relationships are over, that your relationships with your kids are lifeless. You may be totally convinced that your career and your worth and your womb are dead, but you have nothing else to give because of mistakes or because of your age. But the God of Scripture is a God of promise. Listen to me, Abraham. I'm about to rant. Are you ready? Warning, here it comes. God sees your situation. He knows every single detail. He's got greater plans for you than you have for you. He's got a greater vision, a greater plan, and a greater purpose than you can ever come up with. He's not impressed with your ability to worry. He's not impressed with your ability to stress about it. God's not impressed by your attitude of religion and rules and attachment to those things. He sees you. He loves you. He wants to speak a word of promise to you for whatever you're going through. And God's inviting you to listen and to believe him, the God of your promise. Let him bring those dead things back to life. Let him call those things that don't exist, call them into existence. Honestly, some of us need to get alone with God long enough to hear a word from God. Some of us don't ever slow down long enough to let God speak. We don't ever get alone with the word of God revealed to us through Scripture or the word of God made flesh in Jesus long enough to let God speak to us. It's like running in opposite directions with your spouse, and you're high-fiving as you're tagging at the door, going, hey, babe, good to see you today. I'll catch you tonight after I bring the kids home. And you wonder why you're not close, because you don't slow down long enough to communicate and to hang out. Some of us don't slow down the noise of our world. We don't slow down the noise of our complaints. We don't slow down the noise of our own negativity long enough to let God speak. You know how God speaks? I believe in three ways, through his word, through the prophetic, and through a whisper. God spoke to Elijah through a whisper. In fact, this story in 1 Kings chapter 18 or 19, God calls Elijah up on this mountaintop, and it says clearly that God brought fire and a windstorm and all this earthquake, and then it literally says, and God did not speak through those. And then Elijah's standing there on the edge of this mountain, and it says, and the Lord spoke to Elijah through a whisper. Some of you haven't slowed down long enough to even recognize when your heavenly Father wants to speak to you. Hey, Willie. The Word of God. We believe it's profitable. It's breathed out by God. And it speaks life. You know what I begin to do when I need a word for my family? I start quoting the scripture. That these children are an inheritance from God. They're a blessing. That they're the head and not the tail. They're above and not below. They're the apple of his eye. That it's my job to disciple them and raise them in the fear of the Lord. That he who began a good work in them will see it to completion. That's the Word of God alive in promise for my kids. But we don't slow down long enough to let God speak. Anybody else guilty of that besides me? I mean, I'm way more attuned to the voice of Michael Scott and the office staff than the voice of God in my life. I'm way more used to the voice of my wife and my kids and their needs than I am the voice of God at times. I'm way more in tune with the voice of you as my church and the people that have need of me and all the things that keep me busy. I feel like God just goes, if you'll slow down, I can speak and you can hear it. I feel like God's yelling at us sometimes, but we've just got the headphones of our busyness on and we can't hear him. If your marriage is crumbling, can I just tell you God has a word for that? If your kids are tough to parent, God has a word for you. If you're struggling with your next step in career, God has a word for you. Hey, look at me. If you're lonely, God has a word for you. May the God of all comfort bring you comfort and bring you peace. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What father, when his son asks for bread, gives him a stone? How much more does our heavenly Father give his sons and daughters good things as we ask for him? God has a word for you. Does anybody get anything out of this besides me? Abraham was childless and hopeless, and the word of the Lord showed up. Are you ready to hear God's word? If you're not listening, if you're not hearing it, maybe you're not listening, slow down. I'm actually to a point in my life, as I get much older, I'm wanting to detach myself more and more. I don't know if any of you follow my social media, but I'm never even on it anymore. I'm trying to get stuff off my smartphone. I got an old school watch with hands and arms on it. I'm just really getting tired of the noise. Not because I'm mad at the noise. It's I grieve what I'm missing. I just grieve missing the voice of God. I grieve hearing the voice of my children more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to go back to what's important. I think there'll be I was in Nashville recently with all the skinny jeans area of town. And it's like skinny jeans and beard balm and saggy knit caps. I'm like, please, boys, give your sisters back their clothes and real. Get a job. Quit blogging. Anyway, I'm sorry. And I'm in this coffee shop, and they're like, they think it's so cool that they pulled all this stuff out of dumpsters and they're repurposing all this stuff, and now it's like $80,000 for an old wheel well of an old Chevy, and they're like, ooh, look at this old piece of crap that's now a piece of art. You know, I just think there's something about old things becoming new again, and there's something about getting into a place of silence and letting God speak. Because all this noise has just proven that it's just that. It's just noise. But the word of the Lord will last forever. Amen. All right, I'm done preaching on that. Now, let me say this. Nothing should deter us from our faith. When God speaks, believe it. And don't let anything deter you from it. When you get a word from God, when you get a promise from God, you just believe it and you hold on to it. All hell and high water may come against us. But listen, nothing should pull us away. When God speaks and God gives us a word, he will make you a promise. And it may not make sense to anybody else. It may not discourage anybody else. But God can give you a promise. And it may take too long for some others to lose hope. God may give you a word and keep hitting. You might keep hitting landmines in life that cause you to step back and go, how is God going to come through when these things keep happening? But listen, no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, no matter if your spouse believes it or if your wife is barren, you keep believing the word of the Lord, because if he's promised, he's faithful. And it's for us who are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Don't stop believing. It's like that old prophet, the lead singer Journey. Don't stop believing. Wasn't that Journey? Okay, good. I think Journey or Weird Al, I couldn't remember who sang that. Watch this, verse 18. Abraham, in hope, he believed against hope. What does that mean? He believed against hope. I think it was really he believed when no one else hoped. He hoped when nobody else had hope. People are hoping for other things for him. Oh, Abraham, I hope you just get another plan. He believed and he had hope against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, God said to him, so shall your offspring be, the stars of the sky. Watch this. He did not weaken in his faith. Even, watch how blunt Paul is. I love how brutally honest this guy is. He didn't weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. I mean, come on, bro. Like, couldn't you say he was seasoned? He was a little on in years. He's like, no, it's just a bag of bones. I mean, he's basically dead, 100-year-old. Good. All right. I think that's hilarious. Paul's just such a chump. He didn't weaken in his faith when he said, look, his body's as good as dead since he was about 100. Then he didn't weaken his faith when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Nothing stopped him from believing God. Why? Because the word of the Lord showed up and gave him a promise. I got to tell you, it seems really great to get a word, whether he gives you a promise from scripture, through a prophetic gift, or through a whisper. But listen, not only do you need to believe it, but you got to keep believing it. And nothing should keep you from believing it. It may take 25 years for that promise to come true. But even though the promise of a baby at 100 with a wife who was unable to have kids seemed hopeless, Abraham kept believing. That's Noah building an ark when it had never rained. You go read Hebrews 11, you hear these stories of people who just kept believing when everything else said to give up. 10 years later, Abraham's wife stopped believing. Sarah said, hey, just have that baby with my servant. By the way, that is a terrible lapse in judgment. God was gracious to remind him of the promise that he had made Abraham. By the way, that's a great sermon for another time, that God's promise isn't dependent on our stupidity. But look, I don't know what God wants to speak to you, and I don't know how long it's going to take for it to come to pass. But can you get a word from God, and can you trust God? Don't bring your word to God, but let God bring his word to you. That's one of the problems that we get into in this culture. We go, well, I prayed and I didn't hear a no. Okay, we don't get to boss God around in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lord, I want to take this job and move to that place and marry that girl in Jesus' name. Seems legit. Like, that's just not how God works. Let God speak. Now watch this, verse 20. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. No unbelief in others, in himself, nothing. But he grew strong. Watch this. Abraham grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Can I just say, some of us tend to give God a reminder of what we need instead of giving glory for what he can do. We go, God, if you don't, hey, don't forgive me down here, God. I got debt. I got marriage problems. I got kids that are knuckleheads. Hey, Lord, here's my list again. Here's my list again. Instead of going, God, I thank you that you see every need. And I thank you that you're bigger than my kids falling apart. I thank you that you're bigger than my loneliness. I thank you that you're bigger than my cancer diagnosis. I thank you that you're greater than my health screening. I thank you, Lord God. I give you glory because, God, no matter what, you've given me your word. And I can stand by your word. It's a lamp under my feet, a light to my path. I can live for God and not die. I can walk by the grace of God every day because, God, I give you glory because you're good. I may not see that baby coming for 25 more years, but I believe it's coming, and I give you glory now for that little kid that's coming. What if we started praising God for the things he's promising us? Did you know that you can live you can live and not die? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. We keep coming to God, we're going, God, I screwed up again. Here's my problems this week, God. Instead of saying, God, I thank you, I'm an overcomer in Jesus' name. Your faith will grow. Look, he grew strong in his faith as he gave God glory. Stop giving God new complaining lists and give God some glory. To him, hey, watch this. Ephesians 3:20. This is my lower back tattoo one. Like, not in the front, but like, this is one I want to keep reminded of. To him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, to him alone be glory. What if we started praying with glory to God? Glory to God. The heavens declare the glory, and so do I. Thank you, Lord, that you're great and big. Man, my faith will grow instead of going, God, when you coming through? God, when you coming through? Start going, God, I know that you can. Watch this. He grew in his faith. He gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able, even before he saw the fulfillment of that promise. Look, he didn't say, God, I'll believe it when I see it. He just said, God, I know you can. What if Abraham actually would have said, even if I never see it, I believe that you can. Even if I never see my kids in my lifetime come around back to serving Jesus. God, even if I never see my marriage restored in this lifetime, I know that you can, and I give glory to the God who's able to do more than I can imagine. Look, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. God's bigger than what your problems are, I promise you. Can you get a word from God and stand on the word of God? And believe in the word of God. And listen, turn your prayer life into a praise life. And watch your faith grow. Isn't that good? Oh man, that's good. That's a tweetable right there. So here's where we end. What do you believe in God for? Some of you will hear this message and you'll think, well, that was great for Abraham. That's great for other people in here that got God figured out, and they're probably better people than me. Abraham was not a good dude. He just believed. When God's word showed up, he was like, okay, I believe that. See, we believe that all the Bible is given and breathed out and profitable for us to teach us and train us and to encourage us. Now watch, verse 23 and 5 says this, but the words, it was counted to him as righteousness, watch this, were not written for his sake alone. This is not just a story about Abraham. Hey, church, watch this. Look at my screen. Whatever screen you want to see, this one for real or that one for fake. Watch this. It was counted to him as righteousness were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. Why? It will be counted to us who believe in Jesus, who raised Christ from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You and I get to believe in the same God of promise that Abraham believed in. It is not just about Abraham. Your name is written right here. Righteousness is about you believing God for him being God, believing in him and believing that he will do all that he's come to do. The same God who made a promise to Abraham is the same God who wants to make a promise to you, not only for your salvation, but for your living. Not only does he want to give you eternal life, but he wants to give you eternal living. He is still calling dead things to life. He's still calling those things that don't exist as though they are. God's still bringing healing to brokenness, saving lost people. He looks at you in your situation. He says, I can speak life into that. God sees brokenness and says, I can heal that. God sees a lack of pain. God sees pain and says, I can bring peace to that. So I want to encourage you to take your situation to God. Lord, I'm a childless man with no one to leave my name to. God, I've got this marriage that's completely crumbled apart. God, I got a son on drugs. I got a daughter who's far from Jesus. I got a job that's falling apart. I got a boss that can't stand me, and frankly, I can't stand them either. Lord, I'm so upside down. And I want you to take that childless story to God. And then I want you to let God bring a word to you. I want you to let God speak a word into you. I want you to get into his scripture. Hey, listen, this is why you need a life group. Because God will speak prophetically through to the people of God through the people of God. When I was 21, I started in ministry. I thought I'd be an opera singer. That was truly my degree in college, and a jazz singer on the side and a R&B cover band singer on the other side. I had some linen pants, and I had a backdrop of the beach that I do all my videos in front of. Close your eyes. Whew. All right. Some of y'all got that if you were born before 1987. All the rest of you guys, go watch it on Nick at Night, which is now on some other channel anyway. But I was called into ministry at 21 years old. And I thought I was going another direction. God called me this direction. And at 22, my pastor in Knoxville, Pastor Barry, prophesied over me. I was an opera singer, and I was going to do music, and now he hired me as a staff pastor, and he spoke over me, and he said, I believe God's called you to pastor one of the greatest churches in our country. And I remember going, dude, I don't know what I'm even talking about. Like, I hadn't even read all the Bible yet. What are you talking about? He said, I believe God's called you to pastor one of the greatest churches in the country. So at 22, he hires me as youth pastor. I served there for 4 years. After 4 years, I moved to Missouri to go to seminary to learn something because I was good at reading Italian opera scores. I didn't know anything about being a pastor of a church. In my last year of seminary, I was being heavily recruited by Stephanie's home church in Ohio to come in Dayton, Ohio, to be a pastor on staff. And I was set to graduate in May of 2008. And in November, 7 months before, the pastor flew me up to come visit and to do some services and to meet with the team. And he talked about salary and position. And he said very plainly, I want you on my team. I'm going to pay you really well. And I want you to be on my staff here at this church, in my wife's home church. Well, needless to say, her family was thrilled. The pastor was pumped. We were flattered, but we had no peace and no clear direction from God. For 7 months, that pastor recruited me. He would call me and text me. He sent me a Christmas card. He let me know how excited he was for me to join the team when I graduated. He'd send me text that says, 8 more weeks and you'll be graduating with your master's and you can come to Dayton. My in-laws were starting to get so pumped. They're like, you can live in our house till you find a place. They were so excited about Stephanie and my kids living in their town. And me, I think, you know, us in-law kids, you know, we're just the scraps around the table, you know. But Stephanie and I had no peace or clear direction from God. We prayed a lot. We did pro and cons lists, right? That's how we discern the will of God. Rolling dice. He had me up to preach again on a Sunday. He kept inviting me on the team, but we had no peace or clear direction from God. In May of 2008, I was going to graduate with my master's, and I had no other offers. I had no peace from God. I had no clear direction for what to do. And we went to church the last Sunday of April 2008. And in our small group in Missouri, in our small group, this is why you need a small group, you need a life group, because they pray for you and they prophesy to you. We asked our group to pray that God would force his peace on us because we didn't have any other offers. Everyone else had peace about this thing for us, but us. We had no other job offers. And we said, we asked them to pray for God's peace on us because we're going to take this job, but we don't feel like God wants us to go there, but we don't have anything else to do. So circumstantially, it was like it made the most sense. It was a great financial offer. It was all these great things, parents, in-laws, free babysitting. And we didn't have peace. In fact, we asked the Lord that morning on the way to church. We said, God, could you please have our pastor say the word Ohio in the sermon? We really did. We're like trying any way that we can. And we had no peace. So I drive home from church that morning. And we dropped off our 30-day notice to our landlord to move out in 30 days. We were going to take the job, call him Monday morning, and accept the job. We didn't hear Ohio in the sermon. We didn't have peace from God. And I'm standing in my daughter Lucy's room. She was 1 year old. My wife's pregnant with Brooke, Julia. And I'm standing there rocking Lucy to sleep, and I get a phone call on my iPhone 1. It's in my pocket, and I just sent it to voicemail. And I get another call, send it to voicemail. I finally get Lucy to sleep. And I pull out my phone. I sit down on the bed in there in the guest room. And it's Alice, who was my spiritual mama from Knoxville, who I had not seen or talked to in over a year. And Alice is this older black lady. Her son and I work together in student ministry. And she calls me. She goes, Mike, this is Alice, your black mama from Knoxville. Both calls. She said, I was driving home from church today. And the Lord put you on my heart so clear. She said, I had a vision of you standing on my dashboard wearing a suit with a backpack on your shoulder. I go, well, that ain't from the Lord right there. She said, I prayed for you all the way home. And she said, I just got home and I'm calling you to tell you that God has a word for you. That you're about to go somewhere that he's not calling you to go. That you need to stay put and he's going to put you through a difficult season where you are now. But then after that, you'll go to a new place that he'll have you for a long time. I start getting emotional. The second voicemail is Alice. This is Alice, your black mama from Knoxville, calling you again in case that first message didn't come through. I just was praying for you, and the Lord told me to call you and tell you, you're about to go somewhere, and he's not calling you there. You need to stay put. He's going to take you through a difficult season, and then the next place he'll have you will be a place that you go for a long time. I play the message for my wife. We both begin to weep because for the first time in 7 months, we had peace. And my wife and I had to deal with calling the pastor and calling her parents, all of that. But we knew we had peace from God. In fact, her dad asked me, well, what are you going to do? I said, I just got a job at Papa John's. That didn't make no sense. I got a Master of Divinity, church pastoring degree, and I'm delivering pizzas. It did not make sense. But I had a word from God. And you know what? I called Alice. I said, who you been talking to, Alice? She goes, what are you talking about? I said, who you been talking to? Did you know I was looking at going to Ohio and like I'm calling today, I turned in my notice and I'm going to call the pastor tomorrow? She said, man, I ain't talked to nobody but Jesus. And she said, I don't even know what I said. What did I tell you? And I played it back for her. She's like, oh yeah, that's right. See, when the word of the Lord shows up, my wife and I heard it and we listened. Now watch, the next 2 years of ministry was really tough. I was on a team. I took a pay cut to take the job. I was in an environment that was just not my personality, and it was just rough. And 2 years later, that season was over, and God brought me to Life Point Church, where I would be for a long time. Now, let me say this, because I have a word from God. I have peace from God that this is where I am called and supposed to be. And the prophecy said that I'd be here for a long time. So if you don't like it, you're stuck with me. I can't help you. But it goes back to what my first pastor said when I was 22. He said, I believe God's going to have you pastor one of the greatest churches in our country. Last year, Life Point Church was listed the 11th fastest growing church in America. You just saw the paperwork that we showed you about what God's doing in this church. To God be all glory. I don't have anything to do with this. I just show up and I go, God, use this idiot too. You know, like that's all I know to do. But when God speaks, there's something about his peace and his blessing and his presence on a thing. And I just want to ask you, church, like Abraham, will you let God speak and will you just believe him? Even if he brings you through hard times, even if he brings you through 25 years of barrenness and trying to figure it out another way, will you let God speak to you through his word, through a witness of a prophet, or through a whisper? Will you let God speak to you and will you believe God because you're righteous? Let's stand together. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to your church. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us. Thank you, Lord God, that you would have us here in this moment to hear this message today. God, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us right now. Some of us need to hear from God about our relationships and our marriage, our kids, our money. God, we need to hear from you about our church. God, where are you calling us? Everybody say this. Say, Lord, come on. Everybody in this room, pray this. Say, God, I'm yours. I believe in Jesus. I surrender my life.
Surrender my life.
I walk by faith. Now say this, say, speak to me. Lord, teach us to be still before the Lord. Teach us to listen. Teach us to take the calls and to understand and recognize the voice of the prophet. God, would you speak to us? Lord, we give our whole lives to you. We go all in. Lord, would you speak to your people today? Hey, if you need prayer about anything, our prayer team's coming. And we want to ask you, don't leave. Don't get discouraged fighting this crowd leaving the room, but come get prayer. And some of you need prayer that God would speak to you today. I believe the Lord will do that. But God, would you embolden us to hear from heaven, to hear your word from the scripture, and to believe you for it in Jesus' name. We're going to close in a moment of worship. Don't leave. Come on. We've committed our lives to Jesus. Let's worship him. If you need prayer, come get it. And let's let the Lord, let's invite God to speak to us this week. Amen, everybody. Did you get blessed by the word today? Come on, let's lift up our voice.